Good morning, Shepherd Church. Praise God for us. It may be raining outside, but the sun is raining in here, and we are thrilled. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Nico. Thank you to the team. What a wonderful way to wake up the morning. And we're glad whether you're joining us online from around the world or you're over at our Woodland Hills facility or Agua Dulce, whether you're watching on television or right here at Porter Ranch. May God bless you as we continue leaping in expectation. When Pastor Dudley said that was the series, I thought, man, that's great. It's also leap year and leap month right now. So y'all get an extra day. What will you do with the extra day you're getting this month? Now, before I go any farther, I just need to get something off my chest. Last Sunday afternoon was tough. I was hoping that a California team might win the Super Bowl. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. Are there any Chiefs fans? Oh my goodness, look at the Chiefs fans in the house. Are there any 49er fans in the house today? Okay, all right. But it kind of salved it a little bit when a buddy of mine said, you know, they haven't won it in 50 years, and that sweet coach Andy Reid, it was just so meaningful. He said to me, this is the sentence that stuck. He said, they have waited a really, really long time for that. And I thought, what is a really, really long time? I started looking up and found out that the poor Cardinals haven't won in 70 years, since 1947, the beginning of the team. And there are several teams that have never won. Is that a really long time? You see, the challenge when somebody says something is long is it's always in comparison to something else. You understand what I'm saying? We had a drought here in California, lasted 7 years. I don't know about you, but that felt really long to me. Can I get a oh yeah? When it was over, we were all thrilled, took the bricks out of the commode, to lower the water usage. It was great. And then I looked up and found that there was a Mississippi Valley drought in the 1300s that lasted, they say, 300 years. So you tell me what really long is. It's like somebody says, oh, she lived a really long life at the funeral. Well, she was 83. Is that really long? My mom was 93 when she passed away. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, that's a really long life. Well, not really, because Kane Tanaka in Japan celebrated 117 years old birthday. Guinness Book of World Records gave her a certificate. It's the real deal. But then again, that's not really long compared to a woman named Jean Clément from France. This is not a joke, who lived to be 122 years old. And yes, that picture is weird for a reason. She drank, she smoked, she never ate breakfast, and every week consumed about 2 pounds of chocolate candies. So if you want to be 122, no. You see, the challenge anytime somebody starts talking about length and size is it's compared to something. I had somebody meet me in the lobby and say, Pastor Jeff, wow, you look so much shorter in person than you do up on stage. Well, there's a reason for that, because there's nothing to compare me to standing up here. That's, all right, don't tell him I said this, but that's why I hate it. When if I'm here and Pastor Dudley goes, Pastor Jeff, come here. Yeah, and then he puts his arm around me. We're really glad to have you here, right? You don't want to stand next to the tall guy in the picture. So what we have to talk about this morning involves a comparison that is almost impossible to make. Take your outlines out. If you're a guest with us, we're glad you're here. They should have handed you a little bulletin. Make a couple of notes. They say you'll remember it more. How long is long can only be answered with a comparison to something else. Even the Bible uses this. Exodus in chapter 18 and verse 11, talking about the Lord's greatness, compares it. Now, I know that the Lord is, everybody read this with me, greater. Now, see that comparison word? Greater than all the other gods. He's saying in Egypt, everything around was a god, and here he's greater than all the gods. God's this big, they're this big. But the problem, as soon as you say, well, God is this big, is you're dealing with something, well, it's a mathematical issue. In 1655, a guy named John Wallace was trying to figure out, how do you talk about a number that is so big, it's bigger than the biggest number you can imagine? And Wallace came up with a symbol called the limniscate. Everybody, can you say that word? Limniscate. They're not four mathematicians in the house, I imagine, that would even be able to say, I know exactly what that is, Pastor. It's that eight turned on its side that is the infinity symbol. It's patterned after the Mobius strip, which I'm sure you're all going, oh, of course, a Mobius strip. Yeah, I had one of those for breakfast. No. A Mobius strip is where they take a piece of paper that's a loop, and then you twist it and attach it. Why would you do that? Because then you can drive yourself nuts. You can run your finger over one edge of it, and it goes on, everybody say the word, forever, into infinity. Mark this down in your outline. The challenge is, though we have a symbol for the longest thing of all, we still struggle to grasp the idea of the limniscate. And in your outline, just mark that eight on its side. Don't write infinity. Mark that eight on its side that John Wallace came up with. This is the word that best describes belief in eternity. Because eternity, or the common term forever, is what Scripture talks about when it talks about our time with God. The historians say that the ancient Greeks had a horror of eternity because it messed up their math. As soon as you put an infinite symbol on one side, as soon as you say something is infinite, it's like, wait a minute, because we love to measure and calculate things. How far is the sun? People would say, oh, the sun is just, it just goes on forever. Well, no, actually, now they say, you know, if you look at the sun and the distance from it and the kind of star it is, there was a beginning and there was an end. And yet scientists keep bumping up against, but we can't find the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. I wonder if that has to do with how God made the universe, right? That we have an infinite God who made a universe that is infinitely complex, and then we are finite people, and we keep bumping up against this notion. Scientists say, well, it just can't be true. It just can't be, you know, an infinity, and yet it's the mathematicians that keep saying, well, yeah, there actually is. So what is an infinity of time? Eternity. We use the term all the time, right? Oh man, that movie just went on forever, right? Well, it really didn't. And maybe you who love movies never say that. Maybe more than that sermon went on forever. Okay, that maybe we've all said, right? Especially about mine. But when you're comparing something, it's hard to find anything to compare to eternity. Here, Isaiah does it, for instance. Isaiah 51:6. He's trying to talk about how long and powerful the salvation of God is. So he compares it to the earth. He says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. Oh, there's a little sweet phrase for human life. We die like flies. Sew that on a little pillow for grandma. There you go. We die like flies, right? No, we don't die like flies, Isaiah. He says, time out, Jeff. We die like flies when you compare our life to, everybody say the word, eternity. Go ahead and say it out loud. Eternity. Well, Pastor, why is this so important? Why are you pressing us about eternity? I'm going to suggest that there is such power in the belief in eternity. There is such power in God giving us this, that it is what some of us are needing to get through our day-to-day life. We don't like to think about eternity. We want to push it off. We say, oh, yeah, heaven will be great. But it's interesting that when Paul, this godly Christian man who writes most of the New Testament, God used him to do that, when he writes to a young person, a young son in the faith, if you will, named Titus, a Greek young man who was serving as a Christian leader away from Paul on the island of Crete. He writes him a letter, and in the very first couple of sentences of the letter, he says, Titus, you need to get this. You need to understand how eternity can help you get through today. Let's take a look at it. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth. Everybody say truth. That leads to godliness. Now, hang on just a second. That word truth, that word truth in the Greek that is epignosis. And the word is not, how can I describe this? The word is not like wisdom. You know, like, oh, I've learned the truth about this. The word is the aha truth when you see something. It's like when they do those shows where the magicians reveal their secrets and you go, oh, can you make that noise? Ah, that's the noise we make when we go, ah, I get it. I grasp that truth. That's that aha, where your brain says it all fits now. Now listen to what Paul says. He uses that phrase, the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? That leads to godliness. Okay, this truth, whatever this is gonna lead us to being good people. Keep going. A faith and knowledge resting. Now, resting on is the language from the 84 NIV because epi, the word there, says it rests on it. I'll come back to that. Resting on the hope of what? Everybody say it out loud. Eternal life. Ionios, and here's the problem with language. Ionios, the Greek word for eternal there, is really just the word for on into the ages. So they're still using metrics like a bunch of years. Even in Hebrew, olam, the word that's used for forever. Olam means a long, long time. As human beings, we have struggled for centuries with the concept of forever. Not a long, long way. Not it took me forever to get through them all, but I mean forever, 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 forever. You got the picture? And it bugs your brain, doesn't it? Because like, okay, this just, I mean, literally, our wiring goes, I don't know what to do with this. And Paul says, Titus, listen to me, bud. When you get it, when you, aha, I am made to be with God forever. My life is not just this blip. It's not just this spot. It should be so easy when I am faced with choices that say, would you like a little pleasure now or would you like eternity with God? How long? Forever. I mean, I'll take eternity for two, right? I'll have that, please. One of these things is not like the other, and I will take eternity because it's so, and then we run out of words, big, huge, long, forever. Now, it should be pretty simple. Hi, neighbor. I live next door to you. I saw you move in. I'm a Christian. I attend Shepherd Church, and one of the things we really trying to do is, you know, last year we spent our whole year loving L.A., and I'm here because I want to tell you, would you like to have forever in heaven with God? This awesome thing that will never end. I love the little girl in Bible class who, when somebody said, what is heaven? What's heaven? She said, heaven is a peppermint stick with only one end. You know, there it is. Boom. You just got good stuff forever. So I knock on the door and I say to my neighbor, here it is. My neighbor says, Now, it could be your neighbor doesn't believe, but it also could be a problem that we have as Christians with what's called forced perspective, that somehow eternity shrinks. It's like a little thing. Well, I don't know. Do I have this sin now or eternity? I'm not sure. This will feel really good right now. Is everybody tracking with me on this challenge? Now, forced perspective is actually a physical thing. In fact, go ahead and write this down. First off, number three, Paul challenged a young Christian leader to lean on the infinite as the basis of our hope. That's number three. So fill that one out. And then drop down to number four and write down a false forced perspective can quickly fool our perception as well as our hearts. A false, forced perspective. Okay, how do I explain forced perspective? When you look at something, you look at sizes and you use those sizes to size up how big something is. It's easier if I show you. Okay, this is a forced perspective picture. Yeah, That's a giant person. No, it's not. That, by the way, was not done with Photoshop. That's just a shot that a student took. You say, how did he do it? Everybody knows the secret. What's the secret? The student is much what? Closer to the camera, which makes the Leaning Tower of Pisa tiny. Now, there's cool things you can do with forced perspective shots. Take a look at this one. This is a person lifting the Eiffel Tower. That's the real Eiffel Tower. That's not Photoshop. All they did was get their fingers what? Everybody say closer. Closer to the camera. Now, there's other cool things. I came across this one, which is kind of cool. Here's a guy giving a woman the sun. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And here's one of my favorites. These guys got out in the snow, and they did this. Now we look at that, and our mind is tricked, and it takes us a moment to go, I get it. Because we have shrunk eternity and infinity down, and Satan says, oh no, look at this up close, Jeff. And then the distance, one day, someday, forever, heaven, can become tiny. I mean, in a world where infinity is just a car, right? And eternity is just perfume, then we've gotten to the place where we've shrunk these things down pretty small. Now, I thought, okay, what's the best way as a teacher for me to make this something you guys will get a hold of and can share with somebody and not forget? And I used an illustration, and oh my goodness, my blue plate. Did I leave my blue plate sitting backstage? Susanna, did I do that? Thank you very much. Give it up for Susanna, who makes things happen backstage. Thanks. I used an illustration about 6-7 years ago when we were over in the other building. And some of you go, oh, I think I remember this. But I talked to Tim and he's, oh, yeah, no, that's good. You use that again. So I want you to think about this dot, this little blue dot, as your moment right now in history. This is where you live. In fact, you can even make it your life. And I asked, where's Jace? Jace, come here for a minute. I asked a young man to come help me with this. Would you give Jace a round of applause as he runs right up here? Thank you so much, Jace. Come stand right here, man. Now, Jace, how old are you, buddy? 11 years old. Come stand right here. I want you to hold this out at arm's length in front of you with both your hands. Just grab a hold of that thing and just put it as far away from you as you can. Now, Jace, as you look at that dot, can you see the audience clearly? You can see all them, right? Can you see your dad sitting right down there? Yep, you can see him right there. But now watch what happens as I ask Jace to force the perspective. Jace, slowly move that towards your nose. Just real slow, real slow. Keep moving it. Keep moving it. Keep moving it till your nose is touching. Stop. Can you see the audience?
No.
Nope. Can you see your dad?
No.
Nope. Can you see hardly anything?
No.
What are you seeing back there?
Blue.
Just a bunch of blue, right? This is us when our day hits us right here. When all of a sudden everything around us just kind of disappears and all we're thinking about is the right now. I'm so mad about this. Or I'm so happy about this. Or I'm so worried about this. Can I get a oh yeah on that last one? And all of a sudden, I can't see anything else. My team may win. My team may lose. I may get a raise. I may get fired. But if I'm so worried about this, it completely blots out the sun. By the way, it completely can blot out God. Wow. So Paul says, I got to help my young son Titus in the faith. Susanna, if you would. I got to help my young son Titus in the faith, and I'm going to help him by showing him, well, not a good catch, by showing him, catching like a 49er, sorry, by showing, by, oh my. My apologies, that slipped out. Here. What I want you to do, Jace, is give me your hand for a half second. I'm going to put that on your hand right there. And I'm going to get you to grab a hold of that string because what I'm holding in my hand, and now you have got a good hard grip on it. This, Jace, represents your eternity, okay? Do you know that God did not make you for just 11 years or 70 years or even 122 years? He made you with a soul inside of you that you can't see that should last not just a a minute or a day or a few years. In fact, I don't even have enough room here on stage. Brother, could you help me out? Can you catch that? Hey, good deal. If you'll go catching like a 49er. Thank you. Now, if you hold that way above your head, bro, hold that way above your head. I want you to watch this, Jace. I want you to look how long this is. Now, I want you to compare the distance of this, your life, your moment, to that. How many times of this would it take to make that? A bunch, right? I mean, a bunch. Pull it tight, bro, if you would. We don't want to choke anybody with Jace's eternity there. That's all right. Good deal. Now just go up the steps and just keep on going. Jace, I want you to look how long this is. You can let go of that, bro. Thanks. Pull it tight, man. Thank you. No, hang on, Jace. Don't let your eternity pull you into eternity there. All right. Okay, good. Now, Jace, can you imagine? Have you still got more up there, brother? Okay. Have you used it all up? Okay, go to Walmart. Just go ahead on across the street. Hold up right there. Now look at this picture, guys. Look at this picture. I want you to think about how you should make decisions. Three quick things. Mark it down. First off, eternity is big because it undergirds our hope. So, Jace, I want you to imagine you're worried about something. And it's really just, it's worried. What? Did you ever get worried about school?
Sometimes?
Okay, all right. Well, that's good. You had to think about it. It wasn't immediate. That's good. So, hey, Jace, have you ever heard about things like terrorism or people blowing up buildings or stuff like that? Mm-hmm. What about, I hate to even bring it up. Have you seen stuff on TV about where somebody goes into a building and shoots people like at a church or a school? You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's terrible. And I'm sure somewhere in the back of all of our heads, we think, oh, Pastor, I hate you even bring that up because... You know what just happened? Boom. All the fear, all the concern, all the worries right there. What if I got cancer? What if I got hit by a car? What if I was involved in a shooting? What if? Watch. Paul says, Titus, let me tell you something. If you just hang on to this, then all you need to do is just lower that thing about 2 inches. Can you see that line? Look up that line. Now, if you were going to focus on something, does it make more sense to focus on this tiny dot or that huge line? That huge line is what we call the hope of eternity. Can everybody say, oh, yeah? Grab on the plate there with that hand as well if you can. Cool. Now, Jace, what you have just demonstrated visually for us is something the Bible says. In fact, let me read it real quick. The Bible says that in 1 Thessalonians 4, after that, speaking of the end of time, what would happen if there was a shooting or an accident or a bomb? Listen to this. We who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord. What's that next word? Shout it out. Forever. Jace, I want you to know that when you are worried and when you are scared and when you're feeling blue, that all you need to do is remember God has an eternity for you. How long does it last, Jace?
Forever,
exactly. Mark down number 2 real quick for me. Mark down that the eternity is so big, and what it also does, it dwarfs any other concerns or desires that I might have. It dwarfs all of those things. Okay, Jace, hang on that thumbnail right there. Now, Jace, I'm going to get up in your business here for just a minute. I want you to imagine, Jace. You're 11, and it's 7 years from now. And in 7 years, you'll be about what? 18 years old. Jace, you might be dating some really cute Christian girl. Jace, look at me. Christian girl. Okay, all right. But maybe she's a girl that, bless her heart, she didn't have the kind of love she needed at home, and so she tries to find it in other places, and all of a sudden, Jace, she says, hey, Jace, my folks are gone for the weekend. You never know what's going to happen. My folks are gone for the weekend. Why don't you come over? Why don't you stay? Well, you could stay the night. Yeah, I know. Oh, Lord, 7 years from now, may his attitude be just like that. But, Jace, it might be that other desires and concerns, you might be with some buddies. You might be with some buddies who say, what, dude, you've never been high? Dude, you've never gotten drunk? Oh, my goodness, Jace. Oh, I know your dad, he's so strict, but your dad's not around. Nobody's going to know. And before you know it, they're all staring at you and all that pressure and all that attention. And they're saying, what, are you a woman? What's wrong with you, man? How come you won't do that? Jace, let me tell you, I've been there, and it feels like this. And the only way that we're going to make the decisions we need to make is if we remember. Can you see it, Jace? Hold it right there. Remember that whatever somebody is offering you in the blue dot is not worth eternity. Can I get a, oh yeah? Listen, Satan has been using this same fake line for years. Adam and Eve, remember the first two naked people, you know, that God made in the world, right? Yeah. And he said, don't eat of the tree. And Satan said, oh, come on. Oh, come on. You want that? It looks so good. The Bible said, Eve said it looked good, and she thought it'd taste good, and she reaches out. What do you think she was thinking about? Was she thinking about the dot, or was she thinking about the line? Yes, she was thinking about the dot. She was thinking, oh, that looks good. That tastes good. I'm really hungry. She wasn't thinking, if I do this, I'm going to mess up humanity forever and ever and ever and ever. Don't we wish she was thinking about that? Can I get a, oh, yeah. But instead, brokenness is in the world because she was doing this. Now, you'd have done any different, right? Yeah, right. Are you one of those people? Are you one of those people that find yourself so wrapped up in this that you just forget what's around you? So angry, so frustrated with your family? So, ma'am, don't nudge him. She's like, that's you. That's you. I'm sorry to call you out, but it's like, yes, we know what that feels like when somebody goes this way. But when we do it morally and spiritually, Satan's winning. Paul says, Titus, keep looking at eternity. Get up every day and see that long red line that goes all the way to angels in heaven. Get up every day and say, I am meant to be with God forever, and the decisions I make on the blue dot are going to be for the red line. Think about the dot, not the line. Don't think about the line, not the dot. Say it with me. Think about the line, not the dot. One more time. Think about the line. Exactly, because when I do, it positions me. You remember the story of Judas in the Bible? Judas is the one who betrayed Jesus. And do you know how he betrayed Jesus? He betrayed Jesus because somebody put 30 pieces of silver in his hand. What was Judas thinking about? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was thinking, this money feels really good right now. See, this is right now. Oh, I want that right now. I need that right now. This money feels really good right now. But then, if he'd have done this, he'd have said, oh, no, if I do this, nobody's going to name their baby Judas again because of me, right? You realize nobody does that. You don't come in a shepherd. Oh, what a cute baby. What's his name? Judas. Middle name Hitler. He's just so beautiful. There are certain things we go, no. Not only is this undergirding our hope, not only is this dwarfing the other concerns, but last but not least, mark down number three for me. Eternity is big because it clarifies our purpose. It clarifies our priorities. It says, Jace, let me tell you what to put first. You don't put this first. You put this first. Oh, Jace, there will come moments when people that may employ you or people that you may be the boss over have tensions with you about what's right and what's wrong, and somebody says, look, Jace, boss, all we have to do is lie about this one thing. We make $1 million. Dude, $1 million. Just sign the paper, Jace. Nobody's gonna know. Just sign the paper. So easy to talk about this right here, isn't it? It's tough when you're doing your taxes. It's tough when there's the moment of, will you tell the truth? And the question is, what's your priority? Is your priority this? Or is your priority, all I want to do is get away with this? when someone's needing and hurting and I'm on my way someplace else. Oh, but I've got to go. And somebody just needs me to take a moment to pray with them or help them or maybe pull a few bucks out of my tight pocket and say, here. Every one of those choices are eternity choices, brothers and sisters. When we serve, when we care, when we forgive, when we are willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus, you don't do that if you're living like this. You only do that when you're living like this. And Paul even says, I tell you what, I'll show you a secret, Jace, because you won't always be standing here. You feel like this is going to go on. Yeah, it's not. It's not. This ain't eternity, bro. But Paul says there's another way of doing this. Can I show you what it is?
Yeah.
He says, well, let me read it to you first. Because in Corinthians, he writes to the church there, and he says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Look all around you. But what is unseen? For what is seen is temporary. That means all these things you're seeing are temporary. See all these people's bodies? They're temporary. See the wrinkles? That's how you can tell. They're temporary. When I was your age, I didn't have any. Look here. There's like a roadmap up here. See that? You know why? Because this body is not meant to be forever. This body is going to be transformed into an immortal and eternal thing in a way I don't even understand when I get to live in the place I want to live with the one I want to live with, which is God and all those I miss. Amen. So here we are in this moment, and Paul says, it's easy to see eternity. Just close your eyes. Would you all do that for a minute? Everybody in the house, just close your eyes. Close your eyes, if you would. Jace, you got your eyes closed? All right, now listen. I know you can't see this with your real eyes, but with our eyes closed, I want you to imagine God who loves you, waiting in a heaven that was made for you, and an eternity that lasts forever. May I ask you, what do you see? You don't have to say anything out loud. How about look at your soul? It's invisible, but it's real. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it ain't real. What about God? What about the Holy Spirit? He says, close your eyes and look at the things that really matter and then make your decision. And the whole church said, open your eyes if you would. Would you give Jace a big round of applause? Thank you. Hey, dude, thank you so much. God bless. So, you're about to make a decision. You're about to make a decision based on the dot or the line. Some who are here who have never given your heart and life to Jesus, do you know that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son for you? Maybe you've never been baptized. You're listening online and you're saying, man, I want that eternity thing. But believing in eternity means taking a step. It does. It means putting your faith in Christ, making him the Lord of your life, because he is the king of eternity. So what will motivate you to choose? You'll need to do this. Well, I got to go to lunch. Well, I got to get over there. Hey, I want to get over that new mall over there and go see that big Whole Foods. You know, I want to do this. Or you'll pause just a minute right where you are and say, what's the eternal decision? You will never regret betting on eternity. There was a mathematician, they're the guys that got us into this thing, talking about infinity. There was a mathematician named Pascal, Blaise Pascal, French fella, who came up with a thing called Pascal's gamble. He said, there is no one who can prove eternity. I can't. I can't show it to you, give you a piece of eternity. So he says, it is a bet of faith. You can either bet on blue or red. If you bet on blue, then you say, I want to get all I can here because I'm going to bet there is no eternity. If you bet on red, you say, I'm going to live for Jesus because there is an eternity. Pause a minute and do the math with me. If I bet on red and I win, wow, I place my faith in Jesus. And one day comes when I close my eyes and I open them in eternity. And I am with him forever. And I celebrate and be with God in a way that's beyond all the joys of my imagination. I win forever. Oh yeah, preacher, but what if you bet on that and you lose? Well, I live a life of serving and loving and friends and being the best person I can. And I pass away and I close my eyes and there's nothing else. I think that's a win personally, especially when I compare it to this. If I bet on this, there's no eternity, there's no God, and I win, it looks like this. I live my life doing everything I want, and then I die and there's nothing else. Okay, call that a win. But if I'm wrong, and I live my life doing whatever I please, and I open my eyes and I find eternity is real, I lose big. Really, really big. How big? Hell. That's the word. Hell. That big. Pastor, you're trying to scare me. Nope. Pascal was simply trying to say, mathematically, it sure seems to make a lot of sense to trust in Jesus, because that's the win we're all looking for. Can I get a oh yeah? Would you stand with me? Father, we ask your blessings and we want to lean into eternity today. Father, we want to lean into making our decisions, not just for a moment, but for forever. I pray for those who are wrestling with a decision to come forward right now and be baptized into Christ, or just walk forward and say, I want to know more. But God, I know this building on a rainy Sunday is filled with committed people who came because they already believe. God, but we're struggling to behave like we believe. So for all of us who've had our nose stuck in a blue plate this week, Father, will you give us the courage to this morning say, I'm going to do different. Maybe it's the courage to walk down front and pray with one of our prayer counselors. Maybe it's the courage to say to the one we're riding with, I need to talk with you about something on the way home. Father, the courage to say, I'm going to invite that neighbor to church next Sunday to hear Pastor Dudley, or I'm going to talk to that friend at work, or I'm going to decide to put Jesus first in my habits and my choices. God, we need eternity. Thank you for the gift of it. May we remember that our eternity begins when we become a Christian. It starts right then, and we're already on that beautiful red line to you. So God, as Satan tries, as soon as this prayer is over, as Satan tries to get a blue plate in our face and to try and get us to think, okay, where are we going to lunch? Father, would you please help all of us to stop and put it down and ask, what do I need to do in this moment for eternity? I pray that in Jesus Christ's holy name, and all that agree say, amen.